That's right, folks. The Cassie for Fassie is that Cassie will walk into traffic. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I do not know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we're looking at Series 3, Episode 7, 42.
42. The answer to everything, life, the universe itself.
Yes, that actually that is why it is named that. It is named that as a reference to Douglas Adams.
Woohoo!
Yeah, Chris Chibnall is who wrote this episode. He is the future showrunner when the 13th Doctor starts. That is Chris Chibnall's era of the show was the 13th Doctor period.
Okay.
But this is the first episode he's written for the new series. He also was the showrunner for Torchwood, which was Captain Jack's spinoff show.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his first real episode of Doctor Who. So let's get started with the Cassie for Fassie right up top here. I'm trying to figure out how best to not spoil anything here, so...
Oh, because that would be a shame for me to get one of these right.
No, it... Okay.
For the record, I'm at a 33 out of 64 correct.
Yeah, so you're still above half.
Yeah, but only because I was able to convince you to give me points, which I've been unable to do in more recent episodes.
Well, tell you what, this one I'll make it a little bit easier on you. I'll make both of the Cassie for Fassie's multiple choice. So, in this episode, there is a celestial body that is alive.
Hmm. Is it me?
Is it my celestial body?
I'm alive and I'm a celestial.
Is it a sun, a moon, or a planet?
See, I was going astrological, so I was like, it's Orion. It's Orion's whole belt. It's Gemini. It's twins.
That was why, that was another reason I wanted them to be multiple choice, so I didn't feel like they were in case I accidentally word them in confusing ways, I want them to feel fair.
A sun, a moon, or a planet?
Mm-hmm.
I know moons are more abundant, so I'm juggling between moon or planet.
Okay. There is Ego, the living planet from the Marvel comics and movies.
Yeah, but to be perfectly frank, I still don't understand how he exists. So that's not fair. Are you saying planet so that way I'll say planet?
No, I was just sort of giving you some things to chew on.
Well, no, because then I know that if I choose that, because I'm like, Zach said this thing, and meh. And then I'm get all cheeky and pompous because I think that I've cracked the code. And then I'm wrong, and then you being like, oh, so sorry, it was actually a sun. I'm so sorry, Cassie. I'm going to have to take away points now.
Take away points now?
Because you're just a sad, pathetic little baby.
I'm going to eat these little points. These are my dessert.
You're going to howl. All right. Just because we've established that this is based off of, or it's 42, an homage to Hitchhiker's Guide. Mm-hmm. On the cover of Hitchhiker's Guide is the Earth with little, meh.
Mm-hmm.
He's making that sort of face, meh.
I don't remember if it's the Earth or if it's just a face. Mm. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't remember.
The way I also don't remember.
Yeah. She goes scrambling to grab it.
I gotta go look now. We've got three copies of this book. Oh, yeah. No, it totally is just a face. I thought it was the Earth. Okay. Sun.
Okay, so you're guessing it's the sun.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in this one, there is a man that wanders around basically with the intent to kill everyone on a spaceship. And he's wearing a particular kind of helmet.
Kill all humans.
Is it a diving helmet, a welder's helmet, or an astronaut helmet?
I don't know. I have nothing to go off of. I'm just taking wild guesses in the dark.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what the Cassie Professy is.
No, because sometimes I can put two and two together and say, what do I remember from the past episode?
And this one, you
have
to put four and two together to get 42.
I'm going to stab you. For real.
Ow, ow, ouchie, ow, my heart, ow. No stabs, ow.
You'd be so lucky if I stabbed you in the heart, okay?
Because we're in space, so astronaut helmet makes sense. If I'm sticking with sun, then there is a non-zero chance that it has to do with heat.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, a little bit of a reach, but there's that one episode of Futurama where they're mining in the sun, and that's what I have rolling around in my brain,
mm-hmm.
In the padded room that is my brain. But I feel like both of those options are just to throw me for a loop, but it also couldn't. It could also be legitimate.
I like that at this point, I think I might have legitimately driven you just a tiny bit insane.
I earnestly just said, the padded room that is my brain. What do you think, Zach? Maybe if I sit here long enough...
Just beam the thought to you.
And I sit in silence, Zach will tell me the answer. Edit this part out. And edit in me guessing the answer correctly.
You just say all three answers and then I have to edit the one that's right.
Don't give me that idea, Zachary, because I will do it.
Astronaut. Final answer.
Astronaut helmet. All right, so Cassie is guessing that in this episode it features a living sun and also a killer on the loose wearing an astronaut helmet.
Wait, I forgot it was a killer on the loose. Yes. Change my answer.
Okay.
Michael Myers mask helmet.
Hockey mask.
Hockey mask. Jason Voorhees. He's not wearing a mask at all. He's wearing a hat. Scary Terry. Welder's mask. Final answer.
Alrighty. All right, so in that case...
Fuck, I'm wrong, aren't I?
We are going to see if this episode features a living sun and a killer wearing a welder's helmet as we watch series
no,
three...
No, because it's not a helmet. It's a mask. So that has to be incorrect. Right? Yeah, because it's a welder's mask.
In that case, you could consider it to be whatever. I mean, I'm referring to the face covering either way.
I'm really upset about this, you know, yes.
I 100% understand.
No, you don't, because you have no stakes in this game, Zach. This is all me. This is all me building in a little silly little bit for us to do before the episode as a way to keep me engaged, to keep me just satisfied and, to live up to my name.
We've constructed a silly little sandbox for Cassandra, and in it, she... gets mad at me.
I've constructed my own sandbox, but as I'm sitting in the sandbox, I am not happy with it. Do you want to know why I'm not happy with it? Because there are no stakes for you, Zachary. You neither win nor lose. However, every time I guess something incorrectly, you win, but you get nothing in return. I, however, have besmirched my name. 33 out of 64. Are you fucking kidding me? At one point, I had way more than that.
Well, let's find out if you get any points back to see if there's a living sun and if they're wearing a welder's helmet. In Series 3, Episode 7, 42.
And fuck off.
Oh, hello there. Are you all stuffed with fluff but just can't get enough of that sweet, sweet honey? Are you so dummy thick that you spend hours at a time stuck in a tree fighting off bees? Well, do I have the solution for you? Winnipeg's Tree Grease. Just $1 along your little bear badonkadonk will get you wiggling free and happy as can be. Woohoo! Just remember to wear pants so you have a pocket to keep it in. Winnipeg's tree grease. Slip out of the hive and stay alive.
And we are back from 42.
42.
Hey, Cassie.
What's up?
I thought of something funnier than 42.
What'd you think of?
43.
That's a really funny joke.
But yes, you got both Cassie Professies right this time around.
I'm not proud of this one because I did pitch quite a big fit.
And even while watching it, you kept being like, I'm going to be wrong. I know at some point something's going to happen. It's going to say everything that just happened didn't and other things happened.
Yeah, I wrote down, I'm cautiously optimistic because that's happened now. I fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me again.
Just shame on Cassie.
Well, because I'm thinking about the Statue of Liberty and then the fucking necromancy.
Yeah.
The third time's a charm, baby. I thought for sure I was going to be incorrect. Nope. And I'm not. And I'm not incorrect.
You got them both wrong. Or both right. Sorry, you got them both right.
Excuse. Whoops.
Sorry.
Excuse me. I got them.
Just came out of me there. So what did you think of the episode?
I feel like we've seen this one before.
In what way?
The one with Satan Pit.
There's definitely a sort of
like it's the stakes of being in an airship.
Mm-hmm.
Spaceship, I suppose, that is unable to fly, and the doctor and his companion's job is to get it to fly or to save the crew and you know, make sure that they leave the area of impending doom.
Yeah, there's this is sort of, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's very similar to the classic Doctor Who has a lot of base under siege stories, which is like, you're in a confined container that's
well,
like...
Well, this wasn't even classic Who. Like, we saw it with Rose and the Doctor.
No, I'm not saying this was... I'm not saying that was classic.
Oh, it's a Who trope.
Yeah, it's a Who trope is what I mean. There's this sort of trope of the Doctor winds up in a lot of, like, confined spaces where a monster shows up. And they have to make their way through it. And you've now seen one of those monsters is Satan, and the other monster is the sun.
Yeah. Which... kind of the same thing, GH.
Yeah, a lot of the strength of these kind of stories are built around how interesting the monster is.
Now, I will say too, this one had a very clear like time element.
Yes.
Because every so often you pan over to like 35 and 22 seconds until impending exposure or whatever.
I was laughing at, just for some reason, the timer doesn't have any like regular rhythm to it. It's just like, there are 34 minutes and 47 seconds until impact. Why 34:47, computer? Just tell me when it's 35.
Well, because I was also like, is this like a little code? Like, is this supposed to be like a fun little, maybe each time the numbers show up, they equal 42, something like that. But then there was a moment when it was 7 minutes and 30 seconds. And I went, well, that's 10. Like there, I can't even like force feed 42 into that. Like there was seemingly no rhyme or reason, and I don't care enough to go back and try to figure it out. So
yeah, it's
kind
just
of like how Alex Hirsch in Gravity Falls, like there are hidden messages throughout the entire episode before the episode begins and after as well. There's like a secret message.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always hopeful whenever there's weird things like that, that it's like, wow, that's weird. Maybe it's a secret code.
Yeah, I think it was just, I would just assume that they didn't want people to start like timing the episode. Or maybe they were. Maybe that's exactly what they were doing. They didn't know when they were going to cut back. And so they just decided, hey, this chunk takes exactly 42 minutes. So just whatever time we cut back to them in the edit, that's the time that she's saying.
Yeah.
So I mean, I never actually sat down to like time the episode and find out.
Zach, it's kind of your job to do that.
You're right. I'm sorry. That's a failure on my part.
Yeah.
Boo. Boo. No points for you. You like that?
I don't, I mean, you're right. I don't have any points.
No. I mean, during one iteration of me, you did have arbitrary points, but nah, those don't matter. I did like the welding mask helmets.
Yes.
They were giving Repo the genetic opera.
Oh my God, you're right. I think it's that particular shade of red.
It's the particular shade of red, and it's specifically how clunky they are. Because I even had to look it up. Cause I was like, that has to be the same. And it's not. They're different, but they're very similar.
Because I think in Repo, they're more like hazmat suits than they are like metal, I think.
Theirs are a little bit more hazmat-y, and they're not plastic-y. They're more of like a molded leather.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I think it looks like rubber almost.
Yeah, same vibe, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
So, yes, this episode opens with Martha getting some of her frequent friars privileges. with her getting the same kind of phone that Rose had.
Yeah.
She can call her mom at any time, in any place, and it will call back to 2007.
Which I do appreciate that mechanic,
mm-hmm.
if for no other reason than it keeps the timeline stable, and it's just like she has a way that she can directly communicate back to mm-hmm. her timeline.
Yeah, and it also fleshes out the characters a bit more. They don't become like their entire personality doesn't become their reaction to the doctor. They can still go on and have, you know, their family involved. Mm-hmm. They have other people they can call. So there's something about it that does help open up the character a bit more, so it's not just about who they are in comparison to the doctor.
There is a part of me that is a little frustrated that she keeps calling or talking specifically to her mom.
Yes.
And if for no other reason than it's because she does have a very robust family between her mom, her dad. Well, excuse the dad's girlfriend, because I don't think she's particularly close to her.
No.
But her sister and her brother as well. So she has lots of family she can be talking to. And there's just a part of me that is still a little irked that the writers specifically like pairing the daughter with the mother, which, don't get me wrong, there is a very particular relationship that mother has with daughter.
Yeah.
But it's also very Rose.
Especially for that first time she calls, she's calling to ask that pub quiz question about Elvis versus the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And unless she just sort of assumes her mom knows that, I feel like she would have trusted one of her siblings to use the internet more than her mother.
Oh, if nothing else, too. Like, and it could just be a stereotype or a trope in my own family. If you have a music question, you ask any one of the men in my family. You call my brother. You call my dad. My grandfather. Like, mm-hmm. if it's a question based off of early 90s to... or late 90s to early 2000s country music, call one of the women in my family. Absolutely call one of them. They'll know so fast. Any other sort of classic question, you call a man. And so that would have been a nice little opportunity for her to call her dad or call her brother.
Yeah, it would have been nice to like maybe like flesh out some of the siblings' personalities a little bit so we know more about what they're into. Especially because we don't really know much about her brother. We know more about her.
Turned 21. That's it.
Yeah, we know more about her sister thanks to the Lazarus experiment. But we don't really know much about her dad. We don't really know much about her brother. It's a lot about the women in the family, which is kind of interesting considering that this show is run by men, that they are writing the companion and the immediate women in their family more than they are the men.
I think it's to offset the fact that up until recently, the doctor's always been a man.
Mm-hmm.
So fully fleshing out and realizing the female companions, I feel like, is the payback
mm-hmm.
for that, since the doctor's a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn more about Time Lord lore as the show's progressed, but you don't learn a lot about the people that he surrounds himself with.
Mm-hmm.
And so what few glimpses we get all have to be jam-packed. And it's also an unfortunate situation where the companions seem more often than not to be women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just kind of the... I don't think it's done purposefully. I think it's just... It is how it is because of the circumstances in which it exists.
Yeah, I feel like they do a lot. I feel like they specifically leaned into female companions because the Doctor is so often male. And so that way your two leads are not of the same gender. I feel like they do that intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much of that also relates to them trying to overcompensate even further.
Yeah.
The crux of this story is that there is a man possessed by the sun.
Bye. So, because the Doctor said, the sun is a living entity.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were on the internet, if you were in the same circles as I was.
Mm-hmm.
Not very long ago, like a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
where there were some articles that were floating around that the sun has a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Those have all been misproven just because you can't have a consciousness unless you have a brain.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an ongoing, like, floating theory that the sun does have, like, a purpose, for lack of a better term, and does what it can to fulfill its... like, need for electromagnetic attraction, stuff like that. It's fascinating. There is a 21-page scientific document about it, mm-hmm. which I did not have time to read in the 42 minutes that this episode
What's it called?
Let me pull it up. Okay, so it is a paper written by Rupert Sheldrake that's labeled... Is the sun conscious?
All right. Well,
and it's on sheldrake.org. I don't know. That's his name.
I know, but I'm just like, I wonder how published that is. If it's available on his personal website and not like.
I mean, hey, there's also another PDF or you can look at it on ResearchGate as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, bud, you can look at it on, there's another one. That's the GalileoCommission.org. There's another article on there about this whole thing. It's science fiction, but
there's a community around it.
Well, it's science fiction in the sense that, like, as I said, cannot have a consciousness unless you have a brain.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something that is controlling your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since then you start getting into a lot of more philosophical arguments about, well, do beings with a brain or do beings, sentient beings with brains also have souls?
Mm-hmm.
Is your decision-making capabilities and is your consciousness linked to you having a soul or not?
There's a lot of metaphysical questions around that, I think, for sure. So, the premise of the episode is that a man is possessed by the sun. And because the sun is mad that the captain carved its heart out for cheap fuel.
Literally did not get that the entire time. I'm on the fence of saying that didn't love this episode quite as much just because I didn't fully understand it.
Yes. Basically, the doctor early on mentions that fusion scooping has been outlawed.
And you're still using energy scoops for fusion. Hasn't that been outlawed yet?
Would you to upgrade next docking? Scan all engine report.
Yeah, because they had scooped the sun for fuel, not realizing that the sun is a living organism, and its response to it having a piece of itself scooped out is to get really mad. And in doing so, possesses multiple members of the crew. And one of the first symptoms that they have when he's possessed is to reach a temperature of 100 degrees, which required both Cassie and I to remember that the UK works in Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
So we both went, 100 degrees is like kind of a fever, but not that bad.
Yeah, like some people just run that warm. Because if you're listening across the pond and you're not immediately sure, In Fahrenheit, normal human temperature is 98.6, so 100 degrees is not that much of a departure, but 100 degrees in Celsius
is extremely warm.
Means you're boiling.
Yeah, because, is it, it's more than boiling, isn't it?
No.
Because 0 degrees is freezing.
Yes, so Celsius is on a range of water from freezing to boiling.
Yeah.
It's from 0 to 100. Yeah, Cassie and I did just have to take a hot second to go, hang on, right. But then our first clue that something is up is when he grabs the captain and says, it's your fault.
Oof.
Yeah, that one, I heard you make a little gasp at that one.
Oof. Because also, bear in mind, you saying why the sun is angry right now, 2 minutes ago, was me going, oh, that's what this episode was about.
And I don't know if it's my fault for looking up
scientific articles about the sun having a consciousness or not, or if it just wasn't pointed out in a way that made sense to me. But yeah, having anybody say it's your fault, oof, youch.
Yeah, it's, I think it hurts just like on a deep human level, knowing that something is wrong.
Particularly since the person who says it was the captain's husband. So that's your partner going up to you just saying, it's your fault. Ugh, I don't know what it was. That was my fault, but I'm sorry you're angry with me. Ooh. Ouch. I don't like being angried at.
Angried at?
Yeah.
Don't mad at me.
Don't mad at me. I was confused, though, when he was somewhere, somehow in two places at once, and then I realized, oh, there are multiple.
Yeah, when he grabbed that one guy's head and his head starts smoking, he's putting more sun into that guy's head.
Yeah, I didn't gather that.
Yeah, it is a little, like, confusing for a second. Mainly because they're dressed so similarly.
They're dressed very similar. Everybody has similar build.
Yeah.
And skin tone.
Yeah.
So you can't even be like, oh, okay, cool. It was the person wearing an orange shirt or the black guy. It was, they're all identical. They're all white men.
Yeah. Which, there is something to be said of, like, the sun possessing them have stripped them of their identity, and that's why they're difficult to tell apart.
No.
But there's also, but it's still, if you don't immediately catch that, it's a little confusing for sure.
Yeah.
Especially since their names are like Ashton.
Hark.
Yeah, they were kind of weird names too. Like, they were very dumb.
Claxon. Vixen.
Donner and Cupid.
Rudolph.
Santa. Frosty the Snowman.
Hermes the Dentist Elf.
Hermes the Dentist Elf.
Yeah, so I was just a little confused.
Yes, the crew was Kath, Riley, Oren, Hal, Dev, Abby, and Arena. Which is, it's a very D&D party names.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like in a D&D game, it takes you a little bit to remember everybody else's names.
Yeah. Because the only person I can surely remember was Arena, and that's because she was the doctor, or the, like, ship physician.
Yeah. There's also...
Oh, no. Arena was the girl, like...
No.
Welder assistant.
Yeah, Abby was the doctor.
Abby was the...
Kath was the captain. I remember that much, because Kathton was how I remembered it. Part of the plot of this is them trying to escape the Sun Man, while two others are...
Sun Man.
Sun Man.
There's no need to be sad. I said Sun Man.
They took some of your fat. I said Sun Man.
They took some of your fat. And they used it for fuel.
But don't possess people.
Uncool.
Yeah. There you go.
And the other half of the story here is them trying to unlock various doors down a hallway to get back to the front of the ship.
Yeah, there were 19? No.
There were 29. Yeah, 29 doors.
That is a stupid number.
Well, the ship's design seemed kind of stupid because it had like...
You called it that. You asked if it was a Cybertruck.
Yeah, because it has that same sort of stainless steel, hard edges.
Bulletproof.
Yeah, and then it's... But then for some reason, like... It just looks like it's shaped like a giant hallway. Like, there's all this ship in the back, then there's a hall of nothing, and then there's the
front
of it.
It was very Spaceballs.
Yeah, it was very silly. It almost looked like a flying air guitar. Or not air guitar, a flying, like, flying
V
guitar.
You know those, like, little birdies that have water in their, like, base, mm-hmm. and then you can, like, tip them over, and then they drink out of the little bowl, and they go back up, and then they fall back over.
Mm-hmm.
It was shaped like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, for sure. But all the questions to get in were, like, their security questions that you would use for a password to get into a website. So it's like, what, who had more hits, the Beatles or Elvis? What's the next number in this sequence of happy prime numbers? To which the doctor's very upset that they don't teach recreational mathematics anymore.
Yeah, fuck
fucking
you.
Fucking nerd. It's fucking nerd.
Because I also like that he didn't know the answer to the musical question.
Yes. I mean, it's also it's nice to see the doctor doesn't just know everything.
Yeah.
There's something very, like, it brings the character down a little bit from their high horse that they've probably been riding for a few episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites was when the one just question is, what's my favorite color? And his response is, purple. Or did I say orange? And that's the least believable thing in this story. Because if his favorite color was purple, it would be his entire fucking personality.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you not, Cassie?
No.
Have you looked at your hair recently? Your purple hair?
It's fading. It's silver purple.
Like I'm saying, I'm just saying, if someone's favorite color is purple, there is no second favorite. It's just the other colors.
No, I like orange if purple was my favorite color. Orange is good, and black, and I like green.
If purple is your favorite color, she says.
If purple is my favorite color, otherwise it's Halloween.
Her favorite color is Halloween.
Yeah, because it's orange and black and white and green. Purple. If it was my favorite color, which it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was.
I think you could kind of see why I was struggling to come up with prefaces that weren't multiple choice questions, because a lot of the story is just kind of the cycle.
It's very Among Us.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in a bad way. I think there's still really good elements. I think the set's really cool. I think the monster.
A lot of the set does feel very samey.
Yeah.
I do like that when Martha and the, we'll just call him an engineer,
mm-hmm.
are in the escape pod. They have this really beautiful, like, very nice, warm blue light,
mm-hmm.
that's then contrasted with the orange light that's coming in through the window.
Yeah, it's very, very well lit. Everything is, like, mm-hmm. The ship itself is all that same kind of bright orange.
Lots of like atmospheric, like steam and mist and stuff like that.
Yeah, and in that contrast way, there are times where Martha especially gets contrast lit in green,
mm-hmm.
to contrast the orange lighting. So there's a lot of good use of lighting. There's an authenticity to the ship that feels really lived in,
mm-hmm.
especially for a ship that only has like 7 people on it. So it's just kind of messy. It feels like it's a really big apartment.
Yeah.
People have just kind of left their stuff here because they're going to be on the other side of the ship at some point,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come back and get it. And they invariably ADHD'd and forgot about it.
Yeah.
I think the environment was really cool. I didn't like the exterior of the ship, obviously. That felt more like it was just showcasing the plot device of the giant hallway.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily, it only serves to show that the plot point is kind of ridiculous.
I did like when Martha and the engineer were in the escape pod.
Mm-hmm.
There was a moment where, like, I think he gives her a forehead kiss. I was like, that feels really straightforward. But also, my immediate thought right after was, if I am drifting towards the sun, about to die, and somebody's been sharing with me the details of their family, heck yes, I'm going to expedite the friendship cycle way faster than I ever have.
Well, it's also, you know, he's not necessarily overstepping. There's something about it that's maybe a little past platonic, but not quite like, he's not pressing himself into her. It's more just like, we're in this really emotional moment together, and yeah, you need to be comforted.
You just made a phone call to your mom, who's now asking you a series of questions that you don't want to answer, when all you want to do is hear about her day. Just tell her you love her. What did you eat for dinner? Like, what's your plans? What did
you watch on television?
Yeah. Meanwhile, her mom has a woman that's giving her the little, like, keep going.
Like, they're trying to trace her call.
Yeah. Which I know that has to do with the upcoming episode with Mr. Saxon.
Can you imagine if they did trace the call? And they're like, oh, she's in deep space. See, says right here, ma'am.
She's in a universe and a half away.
The call is coming from outside the solar system.
I'm still deeply bothered by her mom, like, immediately trusting people she doesn't know.
With her inquiries about, like, who the doctor is and why he's dangerous.
Yeah, these, like...
Like, it strikes me as, like, I'm thinking about, like, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, my aunt, my grandma, anybody like that. If they want to find out, like, who I've been talking to, who I'm, like, dealing with, they'll hit social media first.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't find anything there, then they will start just asking me pressing questions.
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird to have a mom that is immediately endowing her trust in people that she knows nothing about.
And I will say that at the end of the episode,
people that just seemingly also came out of the blue too.
Yeah, and they're sort of like shady government people.
Yeah, like, and it's rubbing me the wrong way. I don't like it.
At the end of the episode, she does seem to be a little tense with them, though.
Well, yeah, because they ask her to hand over her phone.
Well, no, what I mean is because it's election day, as they've established, and they're working for the government for some mysterious man named Mr. Saxon. And she goes, don't ask me who I voted for.
Yeah.
Which sounds very pointed, like, you and I are working together, but I do not agree with you.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, government
I suppose. Thing they're with.
So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, she's, like, enemies with them, but there's definitely a tension there that feels, at least, like, it's paying lip service to them not being, to her not 100% being on board with them.
I suppose. And what's not to trust out of somebody who I described in my notes as being, as having snake boy qualities? What's not to trust about that? This weaselly ferrety motherfucker.
Or the girl who's tracking the phone who has, like, platinum blonde hair and wearing pure white, so she just looks like a ghost.
Yeah, and then three other government men. Every time they go back to Martha's mom's house, there is another person there.
But like three episodes deep, it's just like a living room with swarming with people.
Yeah.
And she's like having to hand out hors d'oeuvres to all of them.
I will also say, I do like that in this episode, the doctor is incapacitated, basically.
Yep. He gets the sun in him. He's feeling the heat. There's a nice moment after he gets possessed by the sun where he's trying to explain to Martha what regeneration is. I don't know if you caught that or not.
I didn't. That's when I was looking up the article.
Yeah, he's being shoved into the stasis pod, and he's going, Martha, there's this process that happens when we die, that something's going to happen. And Martha's just like, nope, you're not going to die. Nothing's going to happen. And so he doesn't ever get to it. But it's an interesting little moment that he's willing to now divulge to her something that he only told Rose when it was happening.
Yeah. But I liked, and I didn't catch if it was Martha being instructed what to do or Martha making the decisions on her own, but Martha got to be a decision maker.
Yeah, Martha has been handed all the information that she needs to save the day, and she even makes that point at the end where she didn't really need the doctor after all, because the doctor was busy dealing with
the sun.
With his eyes burning.
Which, like, he does get a little butt hurt. And that's also after she and the engineer have a full-on, like, chaos.
She goes very hot.
Yes.
Badoomt.
Yeah, he's cute, too. It's like, yeah, I don't blame her.
Get you some, Martha.
I don't
the doctor's clearly
them.
Not paying attention.
Yeah, and then right after she does that, he's all, me, have this. It's a key to my house.
It's a key to my house that you're inside right now. It's also my car.
And my closet and my garage. There's also a horse in here, maybe?
I can't remember if that was this timeline or not.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all of my notes. I liked seeing Martha be smart. Smartha. Yeah.
Well, next time we're going to take a little trip back into the classic series. We're going to visit the third Doctor.
Woo!
Or Gray Hair McPoofy Shirt.
Gray Hair McPoofy Shirt.
I think you're going to...
You're just describing Tom Baker now!
We will see. I think you're going to like him. He's even goofier than Tom Baker is in some capacity.
I've already taken to Tom Baker. I mean, I made a whole outfit for that motherfucker.
Yeah, you did. I'm curious to see what you're going to think, because the third Doctor is the actor that has held the job the second longest. He had it for 5 seasons. Okay. Most actors just have 3. But we will find out about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Can't you just let me have one bit of my own, Zach, please?
Who is indeed?
Who's my fucking doctor?
Who? So don't delay, act now, supplies are running out. Allow if you're still alive, 42 minutes to arrive. And if you subscribe, there may be a tomorrow. But if the offer shunned, you might as well be possessed by the sun. Thank you all for checking out yet another episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, be sure to leave us a like or 5 stars to help the algorithm lead us to other Whovians. If you're new to the pod, be sure to subscribe to get notified for future episodes. And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Our next proper episode will be Cassie's second dive into the classic series with the third Doctor story, Terror of the Autons. However, that will not be next week, as I'm taking a personal vacation this coming weekend to decompress a little. Instead, next week I'll be putting out a compilation of the first 30 ads we've had in these episodes, because we've had a lot of fun making them, and I want to put them all in one place. So be sure to look for that next Tuesday, because even when I'm on vacation, your Tuesdays are still Whose Days.